actually surprised. We have been thinking about staying close to home these last dozen years or so. I had several heart attacks and just really slowed us down a lot. But we couldn't find a reason not to come out here. So we told Pastor Caleb Rattell first yes, and then he called up Brother Starr and said, would you have Brother Ives? So I'm glad to see you all again. It's been 20 years, like he said. But we will sing as much as we can in a half hour or so, and maybe have my wife give a word of her testimony, and then I'll talk a little bit about mine. So we'll sing a few songs first. And I have said it dozens of times. Really nice glasses. They bring out the blue in my eyes. Can't see a thing. That's a little far away.
Listen to the wondrous story of the Christ, our blessed Lord, who left all his heavenly glory. It is written in his word. Oh, believe him, oh, receive him, joyful praises to him sing. Christ is coming, Christ is coming, Jesus Savior, Lord and King. Yes, his life was freely given, that salvation we might have. Shed his blood, redemption offered, that to heaven we might rise. Oh, believe him, oh, receive him, joyful praises to him sing. Christ is coming, Christ is coming, all his own ones home to bring. Just receive my wondrous Savior, who will all your burdens bear, and with him you shall forever all his heavenly glory share. Oh, believe him, oh, receive him, joyful praises to him sing. Christ is coming, Christ is coming, all his ransomed home to bring.
Well, we are definitely getting older, and new things all the time that are surprises, and I'm having a real time of adjusting to the changes. And the Lord told us that the outward man perisheth, and so we have to renew the inward man. That's where real life is, knowing the Lord and then living in his strength. But one of the happy things that happened is this finger is curving that way on me. It's not quite arthritis, but it's not straight either. So I played the clarinet for 60 years, and now my fingers miss. So we got some ways. We're going to put some cheater covers on the holes and make it work. But we're going to try and be brave and do a little duet and hope that I can get my fingers to go to the right place. If not, just have a good laugh on us. But the Lord is still worthy to be praised, and so we will do our best to praise him with what's left of us here. She's all right. She doesn't age, but oh boy. Should work. I will sing of my Redeemer. wonderful thing to find out in the end of my teen years that there was a Redeemer, someone who with his precious blood bought me back to God. And I was so thrilled with that. I didn't think about telling my family or my friends, and my friends consisted mostly of about six other guys in a rock and roll band. But I trusted the Lord when I was 19. I'll tell you more about it later. But I ran into the lady that became my wife many years later. I'm going to have her say a word or two about her salvation. And I'm glad she knows the Lord too.
One of the things I do love to do is give my testimony. I was raised in a Catholic home, the ninth out of 12 children. I have sisters who are nuns. I have aunts who are nuns. I had uncles who was a Monsignor, one uncle, I'm sorry. And in our home, on a Sunday morning, there was never a question, are we going to church? We were going to church. There was just no doubt about that. But something that I had never heard when I was growing up was that I could be sure I was going to heaven. When I was 18 years old, I was working in a grocery store graveyard shift so I could go to my first year of college, and Alan walked in. I knew who he was because he was in the rock band. Everybody knew who Alan was. And when he was checking out, I said to him, "Alan Ives, are you still in that rock band?" And he said, "No, but I'll come and tell you about it." And I thought, oh, sure, I'll never see him. And he came to my door a couple weeks later, and he brought one of the young ladies from our church. And that was not normal for a couple of unmarried, you know, boy and girl to go on visitation, but they were the only people from church who knew who I was. And so they came to my door, and that night he asked me the question that has forever changed my life, and that is, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And I thought, oh, nobody can know that. And I know he showed me all kinds of verses, but the only thing that I remembered when he left that night was 1 John 5:13. I couldn't quote it then, but I was able to go to that verse and read it and trust the Lord as my Savior. And it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." That night, I knelt by my bed, February 27th, 1973, and the very best I knew how, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. So he called me a couple weeks later, whenever it was, and he goes, "Did you trust the Lord?" And I said, "I did." "Great. Would you like to come to church?" "Yes, I would." "Great. We'll have the bus pick you up." And I said, "Oh, no, you won't." I said, "My Catholic dad does not want a Baptist bus in front of our house." And I wasn't making that up. He would not have been a happy camper. And so if he was going to show any spiritual concern for me, he had to come and pick me up for church. And, of course, the rest is history. But whenever he would come and pick me up, I had questions for him. Now, it sounds so ridiculous now, but at the time, I didn't know what to believe and what not to believe, and I threw out everything. I wasn't sure, am I supposed to believe in the virgin birth? The Catholic Church taught me I was, so is it right or isn't it? And so I began as a brand new baby, like I didn't know anything. So he'd come and pick me up, and I'd have the questions for him. Did Veronica really wipe the face of Jesus? There's Stations of the Cross in the Catholic Church. And one of the stations, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus and his image comes off on the towel. And I said, "Did Veronica really do that?" And he said, "Well, the last time I read about Veronica was in the Archie comics and she wasn't wiping Jesus' face." Okay. So I really had all kinds of questions. And one of my personal struggles was cigarette smoking. I was a pack-a-day Marlboro woman. And God used 1 Corinthians 10:13 to help me get victory over that. It's a great verse for you to get victory over anything that's in your life. My first Sunday in the Baptist church, I came to church and Pastor Howard Nelson was teaching Revelation 17. That's all about the Roman Catholic Church and the great whore. And so Alan's sitting next to me in church and going, "Oh boy, we just lost her now." I'm sitting there looking at verses in a Bible and going, How come no one ever told me about this before? How come I'm hearing this for the very first time? And of course, I went home thinking my family would be as excited as I was to find out all these truths that I was hearing from the Word of God, and they weren't. My family did not immediately accept Alan because he married their daughter, their sister. I told you that I'm 9th out of 12. I have 6 sisters and 5 brothers. But anyhow, they didn't immediately win his affection. And the Lord helped me to grow. We got married later that year. And there was something else I was going to say about that, and I can't remember what it is because I'm getting old, too, and sometimes the train derails. But my husband said if he had known my family was so Catholic as it is, he might not have knocked on my door that night, but I'm so glad that he did. Here we are. We've been married almost 50 years. We have 5 children who are all grown and married. All of them are saved. All of our grandchildren are saved that are old enough to understand the gospel, and we have 21 grandchildren, and God's been so good to us, and thank you for letting us be here tonight.
I think she was going to say something about how I had to earn any audience with the rest of her family. It was sort of like that, and just had to stay steady during all those years. But we started to begin to ask the Lord, what do we do next to win our loved ones that aren't saved yet? What should we do? And we would look for ways to help them or be a blessing to them. Someone was moving, we'd help them move. Someone needed a ride to the grocery store, we'd take them to the store. And that type of thing. But it was wonderful the way God opened doors for us. And some of them, oh, you remembered what you were going to say.
Oh, yes.
some of them have since trusted the Lord. Go ahead.
I told my family that I wanted a man who never drank. Because my family, you know, they weren't constant drinkers. But I saw the effects of drinking in a home. And I wanted a husband who didn't drink. And they said, there isn't a man in the world who doesn't drink. But I got one. And one of my other heart's desires when I was growing up, we would go to the convent to visit my sisters, and my dad could sing, and he would sing in the car. And I loved that as a little girl. And I said, I really want someone who will sing with me in the car. Isn't God good?
Well, we're getting to be back to where we began. We have 5 children, but we sang duets together. And some of the pastors began to say, aren't you a singing family? Why don't your children sing? Are you just letting them come along for the ride, a free trip? And we didn't know what to answer. But finally, we started to have a music class every now and then and teach them things. We started with our oldest daughter, Stephanie, and our oldest son, Stephen, said, now, Stephen, you follow Dad. Just sing what Dad sings. Stephanie, you sing what Mom sings. And we had a little double duet. And the song we sang is about living water that Jesus offered a woman at the well. It's wells of joy, everlasting joy. And the story in the Old Testament that the song spoke about was when Moses struck a rock he was supposed to speak to. And even in his disobedience, God brought forth the water that Israel needed. And we are awful sinners, but if a sinner requests and asks for that mercy from God, he will get that water. That's the name of the song, Water from the Rock, it's called. And we're going to sing it without our 2 oldest children, just to show you that we can do the duet without them. But Water from the Rock, it's what everybody needs. It's living water.
Wandering aimlessly, thirsting endlessly, all I found was bitter water from an earthly stream. How my soul did cry, how I feared. dying. Everlasting life was just a dream. Water from the rock is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for his salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. In this wilderness, earth's dark wilderness, he was smitten with a rod from his Father's hand. All my sins he bore, as he suffered more than this human mind could understand. Water from the rock is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for his salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. Something more. There's refreshing water flowing down from Calvary. Leave your past behind. Climb God's hill and find heaven's answer for your soul. Is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for his salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
It's a happy song. I tell you, we have heard a lot of newer songs, and sometimes that the joy just isn't there. Something's missing. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we would be strong Christians, we should be rejoicing in the Lord always and finding that joy. Well, there's something to be joyful about. The song is an old hymn, but it says, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught. After we're saved, we can let the Lord lead us. And oh, his choices, his leading are always better than our own, always better than our own. Often we don't know what the next step is, but the Lord does. Often we think we know what the next step is, but God knows. Often we take a wrong step, but God knows what the right step is. This is a harp and guitar duet of He Leadeth Me. we discovered that I was making fun of some of the soap operas, and this is years ago, but and somebody stopped me and said, why are you making fun of soap operas? I said, why not? And they said, well, that's how we figure out what to do next. And they were serious. They watched the shows to see what kind of things the people did, and then they would imitate those things. And I thought, what a terrible way to live a life when we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a word that's a light and a lamp unto our feet, and we can follow in that light and follow the Lord and know that the steps we're taking are certain. But I think something's supposed to come from us.
Is it the potter's hands?
I think so.
Okay.
This is a song written by a Tennessee grandma. I have some Tennessee and Kentucky grandchildren now. But anyway, the grandma not only wrote the song, she sang it. And she took this song from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 18. The glasses are to see you. I can't see you. So I'll have to just not see you for a moment. But the story of Jeremiah going down to the potter's house. And I'll read from the 18th chapter just a few verses. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Notice it doesn't say that the potter marred the vessel. The Lord took a look at it and saw that it was marred already. Marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. What a wonderful picture of salvation. We're vessels fitted to destruction until the Lord Jesus becomes our Savior, and then God makes us over again, a new creature. What a marvelous miracle it is. This is a song by Mina Oglesby called The Potter's Hands.
Water for my hands, oh,
just play. He's the potter.
If I give my testimony, we take about 45 minutes to do that. So we're just going to give some quick highlights and sing one more song after that, or two?
We have two more.
Okay, we're all right. We're all right time-wise if I don't take a long time. Is this my water? It is now, right?
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I was raised in a Methodist church and interested in music, but I got in a rock and roll band, and I wanted to do so because I was kind of geeky with the greasy kid hairstyle, and even after we got rid of the Wild Root cream oil that was white and gooey, they got the yellow Vitalis oil, and we'd put that in our hair. And I had big buck teeth. My head grew a little bigger, so my buck teeth don't look so big. And always glasses. I've had them almost as long as I can remember. And I thought, if I join a rock and roll band, I'll be rich and famous and popular, and I'll write wonderful music, and it will make everybody be filled with joy and happiness, and I'll unlock all the secrets of life to them with my beautiful music. And on my teenage dreams went. And when I was 19, by then we'd done some recording and so forth. I went to see, this is what I did. I went to see a Baptist preacher's daughter to ask her to go to a dance with a rock and roll band. Some of you are laughing. You should all be laughing by that time. But I thought that was very reasonable. She wouldn't go. And when I asked her why she wouldn't go, she opened up to the Bible, to the book of Romans, and she went through verses in the Bible that we would call the Romans Road today, and she asked me if I knew I was a sinner. And then she showed me from the Bible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then she asked me if I died tonight, did I know I would go to heaven? I said, I hope so. I was not one of those fools that said, I'm going to go to hell and have a beer party with my buddies. I figured if there was a hell, I did not want to go there. And if there was a heaven, I wanted to end up there. But she had a Bible verse, it seemed like, for everything. Finally, she asked me if I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I said, oh, I think I have. And it was not true that I had. I tried to think of every religious moment, wandering through the park while the sun shone through the trees. Bells ringing from the church steeples. It just grasped at anything I could find and go, you know, yeah, probably somewhere in there I trusted Jesus as my Savior. She shook her head. And what she was thinking was there was no fruit to indicate that I had ever found the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she just wagged her finger at me. She said, Alan Ives, you better make sure you've trusted the Savior. There's no other Savior. She had showed me he died for the ungodly. And I saw it from the Bible that night. And she said, you better make sure. And I was perspiring in 70-degree weather. And I left. I was very, very uncomfortable. I went to visit her, actually, to try and impress her and so forth. Did not, but anyway, I was pedaling my brother's bicycle home after that visit, and I said, I saw in the Bible that you loved me enough to die for me. If you love me that much, I want to be a real Christian. Everything that that girl talked to me, come into my heart, be my Savior from now on. I believe everything in this book. I don't know what it says, but I believe it all. I believe the verses she showed me. Take me to heaven when I die. And the Lord saved me while I was riding a bicycle on the way home. I doubted my salvation a little bit because of the way I was living, playing in the bars every single weekend. Our band had jobs all the time. And it was hard for me to believe that I was a Christian. But I began to be very miserable. And this is the rest of the story. The Lord saved a rock and roll. I heard someone say one time, he couldn't save these dirty old rock and roll. Too late. He already did. He already did. But my life was a mess. Then I remembered a song that the choir sang in the Methodist Church. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I thought, there's another promise. And I put my trust in those two verses in John chapter 3 that I had learned because I learned the song. But my life wasn't what God wants the life of a Christian to be. Hard to bless a disobedient saint. And I, like I said, can't take the 45 minutes, but verses like this, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How about Luke 6:46? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And I began to get under conviction. I didn't know what conviction was. I did not know that the Holy Spirit in love would press down upon a disobedient child of God until they were so uncomfortable that they decided it was better to be obedient. Matthew 6:24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. And Howard Nelson was my preacher. He explained that was material gain. You love one and, or hold to one and hate the other. And I'm paraphrasing now, but those verses made me uncomfortable. And I'm going to turn to it so I don't have to paraphrase again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There was a verse there, and God dealt in it about four different areas of my life, almost all at the same time. But it was Bible verses that I would hear the preacher preach when I would grace them with my monthly presence, you know, on and off when I thought I needed to go to church in between the gigs that the band had. But the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." I knew what the price was: Jesus' death, the shedding of his blood for the remission of my sins, his suffering on the cross for my sins. "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I knew I was trying to bring glory to myself, and certainly not to God. That verse troubled me too. How about Ephesians 5:11? "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And I was living in those works of darkness as a child of God. And that verse made me miserable too. And I blame God for making me miserable. So why are you so hard, Lord? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there's another passage, and there were more. I'm not going to go through them all. It'll take the 45 minutes again. But I'll read this passage, starting with verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." I had a signed contract with six other men. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" I knew what the answer is supposed to be: no fellowship. "And what communion hath light with darkness?" And I knew that I wasn't supposed to have any communion with darkness. but I was certainly out there in it. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I knew what the answer was supposed to be. There was no harmony between God and the devil. There wasn't supposed to be harmony between me and the devil either. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I screamed out to the Lord, I am your people. But you know what? These verses kept stirring me up. And the peace that I had the first day that I got saved. Wonderful peace. I couldn't sense anymore. All I could sense was, this is wrong, this is wrong. I'll tell you something. God's not going to change when it comes to his word. His word's not going to change. I kept hoping maybe if I find a different page, it'll say just the opposite and everything will be okay. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I said, I am your son. I am saved. I know I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. And I tried to do all kinds of things, giving money. I carved Jesus Saves on my electric guitar. I did a whole bunch of things, and still I couldn't get the peace that I had the day that I was saved. And I, again, it's too long to tell the whole story, but finally I said, Lord, I'm going to go crazy. I'm like two people. I'm out here in the band, and then I go to church on Sunday. I don't have anything in common with the Christians there, not the way I live, but that's what I believe. I don't have anything in common with those boys in the band anymore. They don't believe like I believe. But there I am with them. And I said, you got to teach me how to be like those other Christians and get away from this life, get out of this. And finally, I became so frustrated. I said, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to do it myself. You know what I discovered? The Lord's word is a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. He was pounding on my heart to get me to yield my life to him so that he could bless me in a greater fashion. I finally dropped to my knees, a long series of events, and I said, Lord, I quit on that entertainment business. I'm done. And all the peace that was missing flooded back into my heart. And I saw the Lord in his love putting pressure on me until I would yield so that he could reshape me on the wheel. We've had a full life traveling to 800 churches. I never thought I'd be back here again. I didn't think I'd live that long, but it's a wonderful thing, even though I've only met some of you and couldn't remember most of you by name, but that's a great blessing. When I thought I was going to die a few years back, I sat staring out the window and I said, I don't even get to say goodbye to my friends, Lord. But 800 churches full of people we got to visit and sing God's praise. There's nothing better, by the way, for anybody with any musical ability at all. Nothing better to do than stand up and praise the Lord. Help your brothers and sisters in Christ be strengthened in the Savior, and let your lost friends know there's a Savior who can save them, whatever their sin is, if they'll just come to him. Well, I could go on and on, but what a wonderful God. Not a hard God at all, like I accused him of being, but a wonderful God that won't quit chipping away at us until we learn to do what he wants. He wants us to be willing to do it. He wants us to say, I quit on sin. Oh, there's so much more that I could say, but we want to sing a couple more songs. We have a minute or two or three. If we had to skip one.
Don't we have until
22? 22. That says 25 too. Do we need 5 minutes? I don't think so. My wife thinks we can. This is a salvation song on the vibraphone here. It says, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. So with the Lord's help, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. If I sing this last song, I'll go over 2 or 3 minutes. Is that okay? All right. It was written by the man who loved the Lord, whatever his doctrine was. I have a hunch what it was, but loved the Lord enough to write songs. He wrote Wonderful Grace of Jesus, as a matter of fact. This is a little bit lesser known song of Mr. Lillinus, but he was thrilled enough about praising the Lord that he started a Christian publishing company. And it's a Lillinus publishing company, but this is a song entitled I Know a Name. I think I'm going to move up.
Better than
once. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I know a name that can drive away all sorrow. I know a name that is sweeter than them all. I know a name from which comfort I may borrow. When others fail and when tears of anguish fall, I know a name, a wonderful name. That wonderful name is I know a name that can still the raging tempest. I know a name that can calm the troubled sea. I know a name with a tender touch of that by sin may trouble me. I know a name, a wonderful name. That wonderful name. Dispels the powers of evil. I know a name that can break the tempter's snare. I know a name that unlocks the gates of heaven. When to merit I go to God in prayer. I know a name, a wonderful name. That and I know a name, wondrous name, above all others. Oh, say. name by angelic host adored. I know a name that is altogether lovely. Oh, precious name of my living Christ and the Lord. I know a name, a wonderful name. That
I would say only this: if you've never put your trust in the Savior, there's none else beside him. He's the only one who ever died or could die for our sins, and he did. And if you've already trusted him, that you would give your life to him, and wherever you might be fighting the Lord or fighting his word, God means to win the battle for both of us, for him and for you. For him and for me, and I would urge you to yield to the Lord and let his peace be full in your heart and life. Pastor Starr, why don't you come and close as you see fit? Thank you for letting us be with you tonight.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.
The walls of Zion, the walls of Zion.